You're listening to a Something Offbeat year-end special from Odyssey.
The internet provided lots of weird news for us this year. Here's the strangest of the strange viral trends we tracked in 2025. First up, the crew at the Dave Glover Show at KMOX in St. Louis tackle Cracker Barrel. According to CBS News, the company lost $100 million in market value after it released a new, simplified logo. While conservative commenters in particular have criticized the rebrand, just, you know, regular customers are also a little bit concerned about what the changes might mean. Here's the Dave Glover team to explain.
Those Cracker Barrel people.
I mean, come on, man. I told Andrew this. I saw one comment here. I think I bookmarked it. I saw one of the replies on a tweet about that story. And this tweeter said, "I'll be honest, I haven't been to Cracker Barrel in 20 years. If you ask me to choose which of the restaurants to go to, because the post has two pictures.
Yes.
One is the old Cracker Barrel interior, we all know.
Yeah.
And the other one is a new version of it, a modern version of it.
And then the logo.
And then the logo's changed. Yes. But this person said, if you ask me to choose between them, overwhelmingly, I'm choosing the old one. You haven't gone in 20 years. You literally contradicted yourself in your own tweet. What are you mad about? I mean, they took a dude in a chair off the Cracker Barrel logo. That's the change, right?
Well, the change is that they changed the inside of some of the stores. I don't know if it's happening to all of them or if it's only happened to a couple.
I think it's happening to all of them.
You're sad about it, right?
I am. I'm bummed. I like the...
I like trash on the walls.
Yes, I do. It's nice. It's a nice, comfy place to sit. They usually have a little fireplace with a fire going if it's cold out. It's a nice, cozy place to sit.
It was definitely
had nice ambiance
too. And I can tell you the one at 40 and K is packed.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, I love Cracker Barrel.
But I would allow the record to show that I'm the one who actually gets to have an opinion because I go to Cracker Barrel on a regular basis.
So do I.
No, you don't.
I do.
Yeah.
4 or 5 times a year, easy.
Can you
more than that?
That.
Yes.
I mean, again, I'm not trying to be like the king of Cracker Barrel, but like the reason I go there, I told Andrew this.
That's going
to
stick.
The reason I go there is
just leave off the barrel part.
They serve me the food that I like at a good price, and they're nice. That's why I go to a restaurant. I don't go to a restaurant because of what's on the walls or what your logo looks like. If your food is good and it's at a price I like and the people are nice, boom, I'm in.
But it is important to keep in mind when he is giving his opinion on these things that he is an alien.
No, that's true.
I was just thinking.
But we also need to remember that these changes are not being made for our age. They're trying not to become irrelevant with people that are 45 and under.
Yeah.
And that's who they're losing. That's who they don't have.
Right.
So trying to appeal to us, who you already have, or people that are older who aren't going to be around that much longer, is not a good business plan. They may fail, but that's what they're trying to do.
We should all be so much nicer to Wheeler because he is clearly going to be the go-between between us and the robots.
Oh, my God, yeah.
They're going to relate to him so much more.
For sure.
Oh, my gosh. We also don't care if there is crap on the walls.
We are friends.
Okay, we think all that is so stupid.
After the backlash, Cracker Barrel did walk back those changes. But we all got a good dose of marketing whiplash in the process. And up next in our rundown of the most bizarre viral stories.
So I started having friends ask me, is that real? My girlfriend said, oh, my God, Pong Pong Tree. What a funny name. Is that a real thing? And so I had to look it up and then realized that I actually know this plant. And I just happened to have known it by another name.
If you were one of the millions of people who tuned into HBO's The White Lotus, then you already know what Ben Naiman, the director of medicinal plants research at the San Diego Botanic Garden, is talking about here. In the very first episode of this past season, a family learns that they have one of those trees outside their villa at the Thailand White Lotus Resort.
After a staff member tells them it's poisonous, it looms ominously over the whole season.
You know, we went to Thailand a few years ago. Nobody warned us about this. So tell me about the plant. What are we talking? It's a tree, actually, right?
It starts out a little bit smaller growing. People do grow it as shrubs and things like that. But then it grows to be quite tall, you know, 10, 20 feet even. And, you know, accurately depicted, in my opinion, in the show.
And tell me about the poison. It's not the entire tree, but it's are these seeds? Are they pods? What are they exactly?
So what's really well known is that the seeds are toxic, are very poisonous. And what's been discovered more recently through, you know, modern technological analysis is that the same kind of poisonous substances, the cardiac glycosides that are present in the seeds, are also in the leaves and the bark and other parts of the tree, but just significantly less of it. So what people would think of as being poisonous are the seeds, but all things are relative.
So the fruit that he picked off the tree and that they showed on the show.
He picks off the fruit, yeah, and then it, you know, kind of opens up to a fleshy substance that has almost like small pits inside, peach pit kind of shaped.
It looked a little bit like a mango. So, I mean, I could see people pulling one off and maybe trying it. Is the flesh of the fruit, is that poisonous or is it just the seeds?
The flesh of the fruit is going to have some of those same poisonous molecules in it. So you really wouldn't want to eat it. And if you did, it would taste extremely bitter, which might be a good indication that you should spit it out.
What kind of poison is this? What will it do to you?
So the poison that's contained, we call them cardiac glycosides. Sort of the hint is right there in the name, cardiac. And so these are molecules that look sort of like steroids from a chemical structure perspective, but they interact with our system in a very different way. And so over time, it's going to start to slow down your regular heartbeat. And so, you know, the initial onset is typically like an arrhythmia, but then over time, it's building up into enough concentration in your heart that the pump just stops functioning. So blood rate's dropping, you know, pulse is going down. And then at some point, if you've had enough of it, yeah, you're going to die.
It's kind of cool in a way, though. I mean, here you are, you know, botany is suddenly a focus on network TV. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, we love to see it. I mean, I wish it didn't take a dramatized attempted murder to get people interested in plants and all the things that they can do for us. And certainly, you know, there's a lot of buzz about killing people with plants. But actually, my background and my education, as well as what I do professionally, is trying to understand how we can use plants to heal people.
For our last dispatch on viral internet stories.
You know, I think just about everyone has probably heard about this story by now, unless you've been under a rock. The viral kiss cam moment at that Coldplay concert in Boston that outed an alleged affair. It spawned endless memes and it's got us all reconsidering just how much privacy we really have.
And this is a story that keeps on giving. Coldplay frontman Chris Martin made one little joke about whether the couple caught on that kiss cam, eventually revealed to be Andy Byron, CEO of the tech company Astronomer, and the company's HR head, Kristen Cabot, were having an affair after they scrambled to get off camera.
We talked to an expert on affairs and internet security. It's an odd combination. Paul Keeble, the chief strategy officer at a website you may have heard of called Ashley Madison.
That's a site that offers to pair up people looking to have extramarital affairs. That had a highly publicized data breach in 2015.
And that is Lauren, you hear right there. I'm your host, Mike Rogers. This is Something Offbeat. Now, Paul Keeble and I discussed everything from why people have affairs to how much privacy any of us can really expect in the age of the internet. You guys, I have to say, Ashley Madison, I thought of you like right away when everybody realized what was happening in this video. What was your thought? What was going through your head when you first saw this?
You know, at first I thought it was sort of a comical, funny, small moment. It did take me a bit by surprise in terms of how, you know, global and how pervasive the story has become. And, you know, this is like almost a week later and we're still talking about it. But in reality, the internet is in a sense replicating the NASCAR world. And people just love a good crash. And that's what we're seeing here. It just has so many different elements. Wildly successful, good-looking people doing bad things and getting caught. It's a bit of schadenfreude. And the world loves it.
Yeah, so it sounds like you weren't too terribly surprised about the public reaction to this.
Not at all. I mean, the interesting part is if the individuals at the heart of the story had not reacted the way they had, you know, nothing would have come of this. Nobody would have filmed them. Nobody would have posted anything to TikTok, and the story doesn't go anywhere.
You nailed it. And I thought this the second I saw the video, if they had just maintained if they had just done nothing instead of diving behind tables and chairs.
But as I think it was Maya Angelou said, you know, when people tell you who they are, believe them. So I think their reaction was telling us a lot, even though I still wish that we gave them more space to sort of articulate that. But I think at the heart, what it's really telling people, you know, in the thought I always have when these, you know, actions occur is, if you're going to have an affair, and obviously I'm very biased given where I work, doing it in the office is such a risky proposition.